less things that we want. If you can deal, right, I don't think it's fine.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness, especially when we come together to worship you on Sabbath. We thank you for blessing us with a Sabbath each and every week where we can forget about our trials and tribulations, our jobs, or whatever is going on in our lives, and we can dwell on you and the truth that is in your word. We pray you bless us as we come together, online and offline. We thank you for the technology that allows us to be able to gather together, even though we're scattered around the world. And we know that we're scattered for a reason, because it's better to get the word out when we're everywhere. So thank you for giving us the courage to stand fast, as well as the courage to, you know, to share the truth with others. We pray that you bridle my tongue or any tongue that may speak, so that your words come forth and only you are glorified. We pray for all those that are on our prayer list for prayers that they have regarding their lives, whether it's financial, spiritual, or physical. We've had some new requests this week, Father, and there's so many, it's hard to mention them all. But, Father, we know that you count the hairs that are upon our head, so you know everything that is needed. We thank you for blessing all those that are on the prayer list with answered prayers. And all those that are lost that we love, we pray that you guide them to salvation. Thank you for blessing the ministry and all those that help it, as well as all those that are involved in this last day movement. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I was saying last night, it looks like we're this convocation thing. I don't know if the doors are being closed on it. It appears to be the doors are being closed for a hotel setup. But it looks like we're going to be doing it with a tent. All we need is the means by which to get the tent there, because we found a place a half an hour drive from here that will rent us the tent for the week around the same cost it would cost for a hall to rent for 2-3 days. So I'm praising the Lord for that. And now all we got to do is find a place to put it. You know, just find a place to erect the tent. And hopefully it'll be near a street or whatever where, you know, if not, you know, wherever the Lord would have us put it. All right, we're still in Last Day Events, page 17. You got to have the F3 on so that the room will change. Oh, you were in the, you got to be in the room when you hit F3. Okay. All right, and then... And then just click. No, all you got to do is you click that thing and it will automatically go to. No. Scroll this back up. There. Right there. Click here to jump to current starting. And what is it? May 10th, 1906? Does that say May 10th, 1906 or no?
No. March 28th.
Oh, March. I didn't update it this week. Okay, I'm sorry. So scroll down to where it's letter 158. Yeah, right there. May 10th, 1906. That's where we're starting. Okay. Now, we're not anywhere near this getting, you know, to this book. It's a thick book. Praise the Lord. There's that much information. This chapter is, of course, about getting out of the cities. All right. All right. In the future, cities will certainly feel the terrible results of earthquakes and fires. Cities will be destroyed by flood and by lightnings. Out of the cities is my message at this time. And she said that in 1906, 100 years ago. Well, 99 years ago. Be assured that the call is for our people to locate miles away from the large cities. Do not establish institutions in the cities, but seek a rural location. And a rural location would be like where we're at right now. You got the small towns that are out here that are okay in a way, you know, like the towns that have 600 people on them, but I wouldn't even be in one of those. Granted, most of them out here, like these small towns like Rankin, they got a cop on Friday and Saturday, right? And that's it. Oh, they got one on Sunday now? Oh, so they're, you know, they're upgrading.
They got an SUV.
An SUV? An SUV cop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then you can more or less chase him right into the fields if he has to. Okay, that's probably the reason. Because some of the guys, you know, they try to evade arrest by going into the cornfields or something, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, continuing, it says, the call is, come out from among them and be ye separate, in 2 Corinthians 6:17. The very atmosphere of the cities is polluted. Let your schools be established away from the cities where agricultural and other industries can be carried on. The Lord calls for his people to locate away from the cities. For in such an hour as you think not, fire and brimstone will be rained from heaven upon these cities. The sad part is a lot of people aren't going to believe that until that day actually comes. You know, I know we have some loved ones that understand the prophecies that are waiting for the earthquake in Chicago to come before they'll move out. But I wouldn't want to be up there in an earthquake, especially in the loop, with all these big buildings falling on your head. That's not a fun way to leave the planet, I guess. But could you imagine being in a tall building like the Sears Tower on the 80th floor, say? Not even all the way up, and that thing starts falling? That's a scary thought. Continuing, it says, proportionate to this, to their sins will be their visitation. When one city is destroyed, yeah, let me reread that. Proportionate to their sins will be their visitation. So consider Las Vegas leveled. Okay? Consider San Francisco gone. Like Sister White said over 100 years ago, that San Francisco and, what was the other one?
Oakland
will become like Sodom and Gomorrah. If nobody thinks Sister White's a prophet after reading that, there's a problem there. She said over 100 years ago that Sodom and Gomorrah, that San Francisco would be like the homosexual capital of the world. And we know that's the case now.
Didn't she say only San Francisco and then Oakland if they keep up?
Oakland would be, yeah. It's just, and Oakland too. We did that. Yeah. We just actually had that quote in here a couple of weeks ago. Let me just see if I can find it. It says, San Francisco and Oakland are becoming as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord will visit them. You're probably talking about a different quote where she says, if Oakland continues on in her... Yeah.
And then you read to me from one of her books.
But the world's not over yet. I know if she says, I don't know if she said an earthquake will happen in Oakland. The world is, well, she also said an earthquake is going to happen in Chicago from what I understand, but it hasn't happened yet.
But she disputed that one of the books.
Yeah, but I thought.
Oh, she didn't say it?
She never said it.
Okay. But all I'm saying is if she said something and it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean she's a false prophet. It just hasn't happened yet. If they continue on in their sins, yeah. But the thing I liked about it is about how she called them Sodom and Gomorrah here, specifically mentioning San Francisco. And now everybody knows that San Francisco is the homosexual capital of the world. And what a lot of people don't realize is the Vatican owns over 80% of the real estate there. So that's one of the reasons it is the homosexual capital, because of what Daniel chapter 11, verse 37 says about the beast being having a problem with not liking women. All right. Continuing, proportionate to their sins will be their visitation. When one city is destroyed, let not our people regard this matter as a light affair and think that they may, if favorable opportunity offers, build themselves home in that same destroyed city. You know, like when they had that quake, what was it, in the 90s or the 80s when that California city had that quake? What city was that? Yeah, where the freeway fell on the other freeway. That was Los Angeles? I don't remember. Does anybody know in the chat room? No, Donna says it was Oakland. Yeah, I mean, they live up in that area. Yeah, two people say it was Oakland. And Mondo, I think, lives in Oakland, don't you? I don't know. He's. Three people said it was Oakland. Well, there you have it. If she said there's going to be, yeah. If Nils said there was no earthquake there, then there was. See, I'm not that up on where the earthquakes are. I just know there's a lot of them. Anyway, continuing, it says, let all who understand the meaning of these things read the 11th chapter of Revelation. Read every verse and learn the things that are yet to take place in the cities. Read also the scenes portrayed in the 18th chapter of the same book, where we all know where it says to come out of her, my people. And, of course, that's speaking of Babylon and that's the churches. But you can look at some of these cities as being Babylon as well with some of the ways that they, some of the things they do. And then she goes on to quote Revelation 18:4. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. It will not be to the credit of any who believe the word of the prophecies of this book to ignore the special indications of God and show indifference in regard to his wonderful display of power, of the power of God, because of the sins of San Francisco, which was recently destroyed." And that was back in her day, that big San Francisco quake. And the people went and moved back in there anyway. San Francisco is a bustling community now. "The Lord forbids that those who have witnessed this great destruction shall make light of the matter and flatter themselves that in the future they will have buildings far in advance of any buildings they have yet had. For if those who have felt the rebuke of God shall set themselves defiantly to invest their means as they have done, God will exercise his power to counteract their efforts." I mean, they don't look at it as the Creator allowing the earthquake. They just look at it as, it's a natural disruption. You know, we'll take the odds. You know, I don't know why people would want to go with the odds. It just makes no sense when their life is involved, especially like with some of the indulgences of today, everything from alcohol to tobacco. You know, we were talking about that the other day, Fran, where some people would rather go with the odds of, you know, say, okay, you know, the odds are you're going to get cancer, but some people don't when you smoke, or the odds are you get liver disease and you might die from that if you drink, and so on and so forth, right? And they'll take those odds. But when it comes to other things like aspartame, some people won't take that chance because it's not going to give them cancer that'll kill them. It's not going to give them liver disease that'll kill them. It's going to cause them to have the symptoms of cerebral palsy, or is it multiple sclerosis? Aspartame, that weird reaction that it causes that they've been finding it's linked.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
all I know is this, like when the guys came back from Desert Storm, a lot of them, all the guys that drank Diet Coke, and the women too, were having all these weird problems when they came back to the States. And they continued on with the Diet Coke, of course, still pumping their bodies filled with aspartame. Aspartame is a sweetener, a non-sugar, whatever, artificial sweetener. But when it gets to the temperature, I think, of 80 degrees, it turns into formaldehyde. That's embalming fluid, all right? And they were storing all the soda pop in cans, of course, outside before they would bring it into the cafeterias or whatever and putting them in the machines to cool them down. So these cans were outside in 114-degree weather, cooking, changing the aspartame into something deadly. And people were ending up with symptoms of multiple sclerosis and stuff like that. And then somebody came up with the idea to investigate deeper, and they found that when they stopped drinking the Diet Coke, all the symptoms disappeared. It took a while, but they all disappeared. So your diet has a lot to do with, well, it has everything to do with how diseases affect you. Lifestyle, too, can affect your lifestyle can cause disease, too. All right, continuing, it says, "Unbelief has taken possession of men who have been warned in regard to the seducing influence of Satan's working and the methods of his work, yet who have taken no heed. They are of a party that will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Where is this party that will depart from the faith? Consider this. Do not place in charge of your important work or even of the less important enterprises those who will lead minds away from the truth, which is to decide the destiny of souls. Place not men in positions of holy office who will not listen to God's counsel concerning his way and his will. There are influences working mightily against the very work God requires to be done." So you're going to have to be in a very healthy position on top of, you know, not only doctrinally speaking, but physically speaking as well, and spiritually speaking. Because if you're going to be used by the Lord, he's going to need every faculty that you have to offer. You know, it's best not to take advantage of it. I got another, I'm stepping outside this booklet here for a minute because I was reading something the other day that I wanted to share. because I'm in my own private studies. Just finished Deuteronomy. I'm jumping into Joshua now. And I was going to mention, too, at the if I have time today at the end of the sermon, something that Moses was allowed to see before he died about, you know, he just got like a panoramic view of the future and all that which the Israelites would go through. But then I found this, too, in regards to the cities, and one of the reasons to keep out of the cities in Patriarchs and Prophets on page 453, Sister White goes into detail about why they had the problems they did. It says, but amid these attractive surroundings, talking of the Israelites, they were to encounter an evil more deadly than mighty hosts of armed men or wild beasts of the wilderness. That country, so rich in natural advantages, had been defiled by the inhabitants. In the public worship of Baal, the leading deity, the most degrading and iniquitous scenes were constantly enacted, and on every side were places noted for idolatry and licentiousness, the very names being suggested of the vileness and corruption of the people. These surroundings exerted a polluting influence upon the Israelites. Their minds became familiar with the vile thoughts constantly suggested. Their life of ease and inaction produced its demoralizing effect, and almost unconsciously to themselves, they were departing from God and coming into a condition where they would fall an easy prey to temptation. Can that happen in the city? You can be riding down a road, even with your radio turned off, and the billboards or the people in the cars next to you can suggest things to your mind. I mean, and when I say the people in the car next to you, they could be doing things in the car, smoking things, you know, everything from marijuana, just regular cigarettes. But when you're in the midst of it, like Lot being vexed in his spirit right there in the midst of it, being in a city is not advisable for the Christian because of the way it just breaks down your defenses, you know. It gets you to a point where you become complacent. All right, let me just go to this next one here. Letter 292, 1907. She says, the wickedness that is being revealed in the cities of San Francisco and Oakland show that the world is fast becoming as it were before the flood. The union men who have struck for higher wages by their destruction of property and their attempts to destroy life are plainly showing to what a pass men will come, to what a pass men will come who are determined to carry out their own plans regardless of others. Of course, she's talking about like the Teamsters unions or whatever. You know, I think it was the coal miners back then that were doing it. And the first time they had a strike, they were killing people. You know, now they just yell scab, scab, or whatever, like if you try to go across the picket line. But back then they were actually killing people. Many of the police will not come out and act their part. They are discouraged. What the end will be, the human mind cannot determine. The Lord is bringing the perplexities of these social problems to our notice that we may see the evil of seeking to carry out our own way and will. This is an evil that has appeared again and again in our work and which is appearing now. The natural man needs to be converted. The Spirit of God is needed to operate upon human hearts. Many of our church members are becoming weak because instead of depending upon God, they are self-sufficient. Like today, there's no absolute authority. They don't, you know, they do whatever you want because, like I said, there's no absolute authority. They don't feel like there's a God because he's not spanking them. You know, he's not putting them in their place or doing as he said he's going to do in the Word because he's taking his time doing it. Like some people, like with the scoffers that believe that Jesus Christ isn't coming back because, well, they've been saying that since I was a kid. You know, they're saying. It's not that he's not coming back. It's because he's merciful enough to give us enough time to get ready for his return. In other words, it says in the scriptures that he prefers, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, that no man should perish, that all should come to salvation, you know, and he's giving us as much. I mean, look at with Noah, 120 years it took him to build an ark. They had 120 years to get right. And look at Jericho, right before the Israelites came into Jericho. They had 40 years that they watched the Israelites wander in the desert. They heard about all the stories, and they even mentioned, Rahab even mentioned about how our hearts melt with fear of the Israelites because of how your God fights for you and how we know what happened at the Red Sea. We know how you destroyed this city, that city, and this city. And they had 40 years to get right with God, but they chose not to. The Lord was giving them all those warnings to let them know, look, the Israelites are headed your way. Why not join with them and become people of God? But they chose not to. They could have done it like Ruth did, but they chose not to. And so, of course, what happened? The Israelites had to come in and take them out. And, of course, Rahab and her family was spared because of how they helped out the two little scouts that Joshua sent in. All right, finishing up or continuing anyway. I don't know if I can. All right. I am instructed to say to our churches, study the testimonies. They are written for our admonition and encouragement upon whom the ends of the world are come. If God's people will not study these messages that are sent to them from time to time, they are guilty of rejecting light. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Of course, she's quoting Isaiah. God is sending instruction to his people. Heed the instruction. Follow the light. The Lord has a controversy with his people because in the past, they have not heeded his instruction and followed his guidance. And it even says in the scriptures that many are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they choose. I mean, look what Amos says about our day in chapter 8 around verse 11. He says in the last days there's going to be a famine in the land, not a famine of thirst or or food. It's going to be a famine of reading the words of God. And for those people that do want to continue reading the Bibles, the Vatican has gotten to the point where they've rewritten the Bibles so the people won't catch what's going on in there. We were just talking about that last night, about the John Ankerberg show back in, I think it was in 2002, or was it 1997, I can't remember when it was. They had they had these three guys in there that were going to talk about the King James Bible and how it's the only accurate Bible on the planet, right? And I read this article last night in the room, and it's in my Detecting False Prophets page on the website. It's in the prophecy section. I'm going to put it on the Bogus Bibles page, too, as soon as I get time. But it's a true story about how John Ankerberg, who is a pro-NIV preacher, is trying to tell everybody, take your King James, throw them out. Get rid of them. The NIV is much better, or the NASB, or the RSV, or all of them, or the New King James even. They're trying everything they can to get rid of the Bible that has been proven time and time again to be the only Bible that, first of all, matches up with the Dead Sea Scrolls and has proven to be, from time to time, to be inspired. It's the only Bible that is the absolute truth in it. And one of the guys stood up and was talking about how one of the pro-NIV guys stood up Ankerberg asked one of the pro-NIV guys about whether or not it was true that when a certain man stepped forward to make such a statement regarding the King James, that the Lord removed his voice from his throat and he couldn't speak. And when the preacher that was pro-NIV was about to answer, he couldn't speak. And this was all caught on film. They actually filmed 8 different shows, right? But when they got to the second show, they decided, well, first of all, they stopped the cameras. And the pro-King James guy stood up and politely insisted, leave the cameras rolling, let the people see what the Lord is doing right here. The man who's trying to preach out against the King James, his voice is gone, and he keeps clearing his throat, and he's trying to, he can't speak it. He was able to get out like a raspy voice. My voice is gone. Huh? He was preaching for the NIV when he lost his voice. And so they, of course, erased that from that version or whatever, or that broadcast. And they had 8 broadcasts, but when they got to the second broadcast, they stopped. They didn't do any more. And then when they asked Ankerberg why he stopped them, he says it wasn't making any money. It was a financial flop, which means he wasn't in it to glorify the Lord or the scriptures, so he said. He was in it for the money. But I think I like the way that guy's voice just disappeared, and how they're trying to prevent the people from hearing the scriptures. Like I was saying about earlier about a famine in the land that Amos is talking about. There's a lot of people out there that do read their Bibles, but they don't realize the Bible they're reading is bogus. That's why I was talking about that one email I got a while ago, too, last night, about how everybody got this email. We were in that one church in West Lafayette at the time I got this email. And at first, it kind of put me off guard because I kind of thought, that's pretty ignorant for this person to spam me and send me an email saying, check out the wonderful blessings of the NIV Bible. Go to these verses. And he listed about 10 or 15 verses. And I got a little annoyed, I'll admit it, because I misunderstood what he's talking about. Until somebody else sent a note to everybody else saying what I was thinking. And then somebody sent a note back to them that everybody else saw it and says, you misunderstand the reason for the email. Go to those verses in your NIVs and you'll find they're not there. That's the reason they sent it out, to let people know. It says, look at all the wonderful blessings of the NIV, and you open it and there's verses missing. Upwards of 2,000. Yeah, verses that they gave you in the email aren't in that Bible. They're just not in there. The number's missing, everything. It's just not there. And that's one of the reasons you have a famine in the land too. Because the people that do read the Bibles, the devil has convinced them to such an extent that he's got them reading Bibles that are fiction. They've got copyrights in them. And this is what Sister Wright is talking about, which is heed the instructions, follow the light. You know, stay in your Bibles, but don't use the NIV. And the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Church is using them now. They use the NIVs, the NASBs, whatever verse. Because I see, like, the Amazing Facts people. Doug Batcher does that a lot. If one verse will be easier understood than another, I see him flop from I've seen him use NIVs, NASBs, King James, RSVs, all of them. Because I've got that one prophecy series, and that wasn't even him. Mark Finley does it, too. I got that one prophecy series where I got that diploma from, where he uses a lot of these different Bibles. I says, why don't you just stay with the King James? So you might use a couple of extra verses to explain what's being said there. We can't be using these NIVs and these other bogus Bibles just because it's convenient. Because it is kind of convenient when, you know, I mean, I could see using the NIV or the NASB for a thesaurus. That's about it. Like, if I run across a word that I have a hard time understanding and I can't find it in my Strong's Concordance or whatever, I'll look in the NIV to see how they decipher it. I won't, of course, understand. I won't read the whole verse. I'll just go with the word.
Yeah, but in the NIV, don't they talk about when in Job 40 they say that Leviathan?
Yeah. Hippo? Yeah, I know. See, that's another thing that's they do stuff that's so blatantly wrong, like what you were just saying. I don't know if the people. Yeah, I know. I don't know if you online if you heard what Nicholas just said. That's my oldest. He said that in the NIV, you look it up, and where Job is talking about Leviathan, the NIV translates it out saying that it's actually a hippo. But Leviathan is also mentioned by Job as having a tail as the mighty cedars of Lebanon, right? Have you seen the tail of a hippo? He's got the same kind of tail you see on an elephant or a pig. A little squirrely little tail, a little dinky thing, a little tiny tail. It can't be, no. Now, have you seen the tail of a brontosaurus? Yeah, that looks like a cedar. It's got a big old trunk on one end, and it keeps going up to the other end, and it gets pointy. But give me my highlighter, Luke. Anyway, we'll end it here, and because if I go into the next one, it's kind of long. It'll we'll pick it up here next week, and I hopefully I won't forget to update the site. I probably won't forget because I got to put chapter 4 on the site now, because we're just about done with chapter 3. And next chapter is all about diet, health, and drugs. So that'll be a good, and that's a pretty long chapter, so we'll be in there for a while. And it has to do with end time things. This is, and we're gonna see things in there, what we're seeing here, like with the MSGs and all the weird foods. Like me and Baby Lee, we like to go out into the fields, especially when we lived in Cessna, and we'll pick soybeans right off the plant, you know, and eat them. They're tasty in the beginning of the year when they're fat and plump, and they're tasty at the end of the year when they're all dried up. But then I just realized recently that they spray this chemical on them that it's that, what do they call it? No, it's not the DDT. Not, I'm not talking about the poison. I'm talking about that genetic GMO stuff, the genetic modification stuff. In other words, we're eating tasty dust. I mean, there's just no nutritional value. It's genetically modified organisms or objects, or what, I don't know what the GMO stands for. I can't remember now. But anyway, we'll be back in a minute. I got to get a glass of water, and then when we're gonna sing,
sing
we sing, and then no. Donna's doing it this week, right? Is Donna here? I think she is. Donna was gonna do the children's story. Is she gonna do it? Yes, she's gonna do it. So okay, all right. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm.